In the name of Jesus, amen. Some things are so memorable because they almost seem perfect. Perhaps not perfect, but at least very, very outstanding. We are blessed here in St. Louis to have the Sheldon Concert Hall, a place known for having incredible acoustics. A place when you go there for a concert, you hear all the nuances. Musicians have said that sometimes it's great to be there because it's so easy to play there, yet you're so exposed. Because every note you play, even if just a little bit flat or sharp, is heard. Another place also known for its acoustics and probably all the more famous is Carnegie Hall. One perfect, or at least an outstanding night, was the night I was there in the audience. It was a beautiful Friday night about this time of year, and the hall was absolutely packed. There was no doubt. People came, they paid the price, they wanted to be there to hear this concert. On the stage to my right, sitting on sort of the side, were 16 people of the chorus, four soloists, and about 25 in the orchestra. It was amazing. Out comes the conductor, ready to lead this group of people. He comes out and takes his position at the podium, and the applause subsided. Then he raised his arms, first for this beautiful opening portion from the orchestra. Then the tenor walked slowly forward and sang, "Comfort, comfort ye my people." Words from Isaiah that open the Messiah. Here in this hall, this beautiful place where architecturally every nook and cranny has a role in playing why this music will sound so good. Even the paint selected, the wood in the stage, as well as the varnishes used, have been studied scientifically and have been preserved because this whole building works together for one thing, and that's the incredible acoustics. From the time that the soloist began and through every chorus, every aria, all of it was absolutely outstanding. The work is about 2 hours long, so those who are there just even for the music portion have made a slight commitment. An intermission between the first part one and then part two, and then you settle in for part two and part three. An odd thing happened at the end of part two. That's where everybody gets to hear the Hallelujah chorus. By tradition, everyone rises, and it's a beautiful moment. Then something odd was happening, and the conductor was well aware of it. He stood there after the audience was seated because people were leaving. It was obvious the chorus wasn't going to leave. It was obvious that the orchestra was staying. And it was obvious that most of the people were, but one by one, a small group left. Finally, as he heard the last click of the door, as that last person made an early exit, the conductor turned around with a knowing kind of smirk on his face. He shook his head and he said, "They're going to miss the best part." He turned again to the chorus and the orchestra. Advent seems to be one of those seasons in the year that could be easily missed. It's probably not the favorite. It's probably not the most well-known. We have to remind people what Advent means. Yet, when you are a part of Advent for 4 weeks, rather short this year, there's so much there for us. Yet we keep thinking the best part is yet to come, that the best part is when we get beyond this time of blue or purple, when we get past this more penitential part, when we get done looking forward to his coming again, and we're just going to settle down to the best part, the nativity. Is that the best part? Is that what we really do with Advent? Just as in the Messiah, it moves from that opening chorus of prophecy all the way through the Passion and the Resurrection. what's happening during Advent, and we see this text come to us, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. We're all here because we've thought, prayed, imagined that this is God's will for us to be here. It's not written. Our words, our names don't appear with a direction to come to Concordia Seminary. Yet some prepare to become pastors. Some prepare to serve as the way they want to because they're wanting to be a deaconess, or a PhD student who wants to teach and share the knowledge of God. There's a reason why we believe we're called here, and there's sacrifices that have been made, and there's been all sorts of things that have happened, but is that the best part? Is there only that desire to look towards graduation and ordination and consecration and years of service that number in decades? The best part. The best part to read from Hebrews. Behold, I have come to do your will. He abolishes the first in order to establish the second, and by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The best part is not just looking forward to that day when we, like John Gibbs, will see our Savior face to face. The best part is living every single day, not turning our back and walking out the door, but being here, because the one who came redeemed us and paid the price because it was his Father's will, and he was the only one who could. After the conductor returned to the orchestra and chorus, he began first with the soprano, who would then come forward and sing, I know that my Redeemer lives. The most powerful moment in the time, I really would have preferred to have stood up and enjoyed the moment with all of who I am, was when the conductor stood before the choir and the orchestra, and he brought in the choir and the orchestra in that final chorus. Worthy is the Lamb. I'll always remember that he began with this grandiose arching hands over his head as he unleashed the choir and the orchestra to sing boldly, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, the one who in obedience to his Father came, who suffered and died and rose again, so that as we discern his will, first and foremost, we are his redeemed. The best is not yet to come in only seeing him face to face, but living every day. Not because we've sacrificed and have so much to offer him, but he sacrificed it all and has come to us. He unleashes in us by the power of his Spirit to sing, worthy is the Lamb. I know that my Redeemer lives, and we anticipate the fulfillment of everything that is written in his word. But for now, not only outstanding, but absolutely perfect. He has come to do his will. Come again, Lord Jesus. Amen. We rise.